RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Holy bleep, where's the Tylenol? How's everybody doing? Grant and Danny here on The Fan. There is no GP today, taking a much-deserved week off. We upgraded, though. We have a fellow incredible high-level athlete, just like GP. Our guy Kedrick Colston is hanging out in the studio. Ked, what's up, bud?
Nothing much, man. How you doing, man? How was the holidays? Kids well? Everybody good?
Everybody's good. We did the gauntlet. So we've got family that's all, you know, within 90 minutes of each other.
Okay.
So mother here, my mother-in-law's here, father-in-law's here, my dad's here, then kind of extended family is there. We did four, maybe even five different times where different groups of kids and we're all sort of together, opening presents. It's exhausting, but it's awesome. Right? Did you guys go anywhere? You one spot? What'd
so,
you do?
So, kind of similar, right? So, we got family in Raleigh. We got family in Chantilly, Arlington, so on and so forth. So, we host everybody at our house, right?
That's so nice.
It is good because you don't have to go anywhere, but there's a lot of pre-cleaning.
Yes.
There's a lot of after-cleaning.
Post-cleaning,
and there's a lot of stuff in between because you kind of have to be on your P's and Q's. It sounds like you had a lot of travel.
A lot of travel.
But once you were home and nothing else mattered.
Yeah, so my 7-year-old had a soccer tournament, which was cool. We didn't know what it was going to be like. It was up in Baltimore, and they got mud stomped all over the place by these teams that are really good. But that's cool, too. That's all good experiences.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, I've been at a lot of Christmas Day holiday tournaments where you spend a lot of money and watch your kids barely want to play because they'd rather be at home.
100%.
Because it's cold and it's wet and they don't really want to do it. And you spend $8 on chicken fingers that are cold and they don't have french fries. So you get old potato chips. And sounds like being a parent.
Were you at the indoor soccer arena this past Saturday?
Were you there?
What we did.
It's kind of like if you've been to one white sand beach with clear water, you kind of been to them all.
You've seen it. We got a good radio program for you guys. Jay Gruden will join the show, as he always does, at 5 p.m. I've got plenty of Washington football talk. I figured we should probably do that with a guy that played in the league for a decade here in Washington, Kedrick Colston, with us. I want your thoughts on a whole myriad of topics. But let's go through what we saw in the NFL kind of this weekend. So Washington got theirs out of the way Christmas Day. We did those three games. Then it was kind of like we waited around a little bit. Saturday games, Sunday games, a whole bunch of meaningful results. And I feel like we learned a decent amount. Let's start with the Texans beating the Chargers 2016. This Texans group is nasty. I don't know how good they are offensively. I don't know if they're good enough to win a championship offensively. I don't know if they're good enough to even, you know, win and get to a conference championship game offensively. Because I feel like at some point you got to make a play. But I wouldn't want to be the team that has to find out. You know what I mean? Like, they are nasty, Ked.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, a lot has already been said about their head coach, D'Amico Ryans, and you can tell based off of watching him as a player. I think we were the same draft class in 06, right? But his team mimics the way that he goes out there and play, right? They play, they're fast, they're physical, they're violent, right? And whether they win or lose the game, whoever they play next week, they're going to be sore, right? Because that's just the way
feels
the Texans play football.
So I've been through this a million times with Grant, but their losses, when we kind of, I don't want to say we wrote them off, but a lot of people did, these are not bad losses, if that makes any sense. They lost to really good football teams that are pretty accomplished and are doing things this year. So going through that super quick, they lost week one to the Rams. Rams are pretty good. Had a chance of the one seed until very recently. And that's a one-score game. They lost in week two by a point to Tampa. This is when Tampa was on fire, coming back in every one of their games. Again, 2019, they lost there. They lost to the 12-win Jacksonville Jaguars by a touchdown. Again, it all looks bad. They lost to the team that right now is the one seed in the NFC, the Seattle Seahawks. And we're going, oh, they stink. They're 2-4. They lost to the one seed in the AFC Denver Broncos by a field goal. And since then, they've whooped everybody's ass. I'm telling you, that group is nasty.
For sure, for sure. And they play quality opponents, whether we realize it or not, right? So this whole time, right, they didn't get in their feelings. They didn't say, the season's over because it didn't start. What they knew was they were playing quality football. They were more concerned about the process, right? They got better each and every week, and now they're playing their best football down the stretch.
So they're the 5 seed as things stand, and currently the 4 seed is the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll get into that in a second, but they'll either play Pittsburgh or Baltimore. What a draw for Houston to get themselves into the divisional round. If there's one team you'd pick to play that's in the postseason, it'd be the AFC North winner.
Absolutely, because for whatever reason, huge fan of the AFC North, whether it be at Pittsburgh or Baltimore, for whatever reason, things are just not working out up north.
It is not. This is a bad year in that regard. So I'll stay out west super quick here. Broncos, nail in the coffin of the Chiefs. That's not the Chiefs. That's kind of a bastardized version of the Chiefs that we saw, but it just felt symbolic, right, that the last game on Christmas night was kind of a slugfest, the way that the Broncos have sort of won all year long. It wasn't pretty, but I don't think it matters to a team that's now 13-3.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, what you have with Denver, right, and Sean Payton, like we all know about his time with the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees and the Dome, right? But this is somebody that's off of a Bill Parcells coaching tree, right? So his football teams historically aren't going to be physical. Mm-hmm. They're going to run the football, and he's developing a young quarterback. And like you talked about, right, the Chiefs just hadn't been the Chiefs with the Patrick Mahomes injury. But that being said, you know, the Broncos are figuring it out, and more so than anything, winning 13 games in this league is hard to do, and they've done that with a young team that believes in what they're doing.
And that's kind of the most amazing part to me is usually we think of a 13-game winner. I mean, we look at the Chiefs last year, right? I think they were 15-2 or 14-3. I can't remember which. But they won games like the Broncos have won, where they're trailing in the fourth quarter, where it's the one-score comeback win, where they don't look good for three quarters, and yet somehow they find a way, etc. And a lot of the analytics guys, the pocket protectors, the nerds that cover this game and give you information. I love all data points. We decide what weighs more to us. We'll go, yeah, but with that. But having been a player and been in some of those locker rooms where that belief is powerful. You know what I mean? It's more than a number, where Denver should not be 13-3 according to the numbers. We turn it in, they're probably a 10-6 team. But they're 13-3 for a reason, right?
No doubt about it. And like I said, man, analytics has been around for since anything, right?
Sure,
like
sure.
You figure out what you did, you figure out what you did good, you figure out what you did right, you figure out who's doing it really well, and you get numbers, right? So like modern world, right, we created a whole department now called analytics, right? Coaches used to do it, now they got other guys that do it.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's the information that you want because you really get down in the weeds and really do a deep dive of situations. But one thing that you cannot discredit, right, is belief. Right, and understanding situational football, right? Denver, right, has made plays when they needed to be made. They have gotten the stops when they needed to have stops. And the team believes that no matter what the situation is, who we're playing, if we're down or whatever, that they can go out there and win that football game. And so as somebody, and another big thing now is mental health, right, and understanding the mind of an athlete is a precious thing, right? And when there's a belief there, you're going to be dealing with an unstoppable force.
So we'll get to games that there aren't many mysteries yet to be solved when it comes to playoff seeding and who's in and who's out. The most important game, if there is such a thing, next weekend is that AFC North. It's Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That's because Baltimore in the battle of the backup quarterbacks looked really good to me, beating up on the Green Bay Packers 41-24 in that game. I thought Huntley was really good. I mean, Malik Willis made himself some money. He was incredible in that game, even in a loss. But that was actually a wildly entertaining matchup when, on paper, it may not have been the most entertaining game over the weekend.
Well, you're talking about two franchises that historically, you know, have really good football teams, right? Baltimore, for whatever reason, Lamar has not been right all year. I mean, you can contribute that to injuries. He's still a guy that, you know, I believe in as a player, as a quarterback. I think he will eventually you know, top that mountain and win a Super Bowl in this league. But for whatever reason, he's beat up, banged up this year. But you're talking about a culture in Harbaugh. You're talking about a team that's been defensive led since they went back to Baltimore and they called themselves the Ravens, right? So it's exciting football. You know what I mean? And the Ravens are going to be the Ravens more times than not.
So, you know, you ever seen Draft Day with Kevin Costner?
Yes.
The dramatized thing. And it's like a couple things, I'm sure, as a player. It's like eye rolling. Where like Dennis Leary's like, I need a running back. And it comes in like, oh my God, it's so cringe.
Oh, it's not like that for real?
I don't think it is, but I don't know. I've never been in those war rooms. But I will tell you, when he remember he wrote his note down, right? It was Vontae Mack no matter what. I would have a note and post it. Maybe you put it in permanent ink. Maybe you laminate it. It'd be very simple. Give the ball to Derrick Henry. I would have that as my note, as a reminder to everybody. Our bread is buttered right now on 22. My goodness, was that incredible.
You know, he's had an issue fumbling the ball since the beginning of the season.
Which he never had before.
But to your point, and like you all say on the show all the time, right, look at the back of his baseball card.
Yeah.
The back of his baseball card is you feed him the football. That's what his high school coach did.
Yeah.
That's what Hall of Fame coach Nick Saban's doing.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the Baltimore Ravens are going to do because he is a problem. The colder it gets, bodies are sore. He's still big. He's still physical. And he's a problem for opposing defenses.
Darius, can we make a note that Ked knows some inside baseball on G&D? Did you catch that? That's very flattering. I appreciate that. Did you played against him, right? Derrick Henry? Or did you guys miss each other?
When did he come in the league? I think he was in Tennessee when I was – what year did Derrick Henry
I want to say 2016. Is that possible?
So that was my last year. So we just missed each other. Lucky for him. No, I'm just playing.
That's funny. So it's dumb to say, did you have to tackle a back like him? They don't make many guys like that, but I'm talking about that big – because every back in my lifetime that's been that way, whether it was an Eddie George or Christian Okoye from when I was a kid or a Barry Word or – you know, Ironhead Hayward, or Jerome Bettis is maybe the exception. He lasted longer. But most of those guys, you hit the wall. Someone that's that big and that physical, they're just too many body blows, too many hits, and next thing you know, they kind of fall off a cliff. He's the exception. He is a freight train. He's as tough to tackle now as he was 10 years ago.
Somebody that hits really close to home, Brandon Jacobs.
Right up
the street, right? And so
Diesel.
When he was in that three-headed monster with Bradshaw, and I forget the other one, right? But, like, to your point, when he finally had to shoulder the load and he was getting 30-plus carries a game, he had a few years run there, but the hits added up. You know, what Derrick has done, I mean, people talk about it. You can probably Google it, look on social media, so on and so forth. What we know about the body and sports science and so on and so forth, here's a guy that takes care of his body. He probably gets in the infrared sauna, the cold tub, hot tub, hyperbaric chamber. He probably, you know, has a team of people that's able to take care of his body. And by the way, the NFL has adjusted, right, to the way that we practice, the way we go about it, and understanding that, I still believe, right, it is a tough man game, right, but we also have to be smart. And we want these guys performing at their peaks on Sundays and Mondays and Thursday nights, right? And so Derrick Henry has done it. Now, I would say this, though. Early on in his career, he wasn't running like this, right? So he's been, the last 8 years where it's really kind of been the Derrick Henry show, right? But hats off to him. And if he was on my team, I'd definitely give him the ball.
I would get that dude the football. God, he was so damn impressive that game this weekend. Kind of saved their season, give them a chance to have a win and get in. Another win and get in type game taking place this coming weekend is the NFC South. So this is a division that somebody's going to have to win. I mean, we have rules about this. Like, you need a division winner. We can't settle it until you do. Carolina, Tampa both lost this weekend. Tampa, I mean, Carolina, no shame in their loss. Maybe the best team in the NFL. Seattle just dismantled them 27-10. It was close until it wasn't. Seattle, to me, it seems like they should be, and I want your take on this. I look at them and I go, that's an excellent defense. Smart head coach, Mike McDonald, knows what he's doing. I get that their defense is very good. Offensively, it seems they should be figured out by now. Sam Darnold's going to turn it over. They're a one-trick pony when it comes to throwing the ball. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is incredible. As smooth a route runner as you're going to find. He reminds me of kind of Marvin Harrison, the way that he played, where it doesn't look like he's faster than everybody, but no one's within 5 yards of him when he makes his breaks and cuts, and everything is so smooth. But this Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet run game is okay. A.J. Barner's fine. This shouldn't be the best team in the NFC-type juggernaut, in my view, offensively, and yet here they are, right at the top, as good as anybody. They beat the brakes off of Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, as a team, right, defensively, right, that offensive coaching staff knows that, right, our defense is going to keep us in the game, right? So, Sam, just don't turn it over as much as you used to, right?
Right,
we're going to make a play, right?
And the losses, that's what's happened.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, we have explosive players, right? We're going to be committed to running the football, right, to keep our defense off the field. And we know our defense is going to make plays, create short fields for us. And, you know, that formula still works in the NFL, right? Play good defense. Don't turn the ball over. Get some hitting yards in the kicking game. And you got a good football team.
Browns beat the Steelers. I don't want to spend too much time on this one other than to say, you know, it sets up our winning get in with the Steelers and Ravens. But from a Browns perspective, quantify what Myles Garrett's doing. Because we've seen T.J. Watt and Michael Strahan get that 22.5. He didn't get a sack this game against Aaron Rodgers, who's admittedly tough to sack. Usually gets rid of the football. One of the fastest times to throw in the NFL this year. But everybody, he's number one on the scouting report every week. Everybody knows that where 95 is, and he's moving around the line of scrimmage, et cetera. But explain to the casual person and pretend I'm one of them too, because I don't get it. I don't get how someone could be this dominant.
Well, you know, it's the NFL, right? So it is the best of the best, the elite of the elites. But amongst those freaks, you have a freak amongst freaks, uh-huh. right? And I'm sure you can, another Grant and Danny kind of moment, you can go to some type of medieval goons and gulags and whatever it yeah. is, right? Type of sci-fi type hit, right? There's always uh-huh. somebody bigger and badder, right? That guy is Myles
Garrett. And that's
Garrett. Him. That guy's Myles Garrett, right? Like you look at, even from when he was drafted, a guy with that size, that strength, that power, right, that he doesn't have a weakness in his game, mm-hmm. right? So you can't just run the ball and beat him up, right? He's going to beat up your offensive line in the run game. He's bigger, he's faster, he's stronger, he's more explosive. He's a guy that has continued to work on his craft of rushing the passer, right? So, and you hear, you see, we all seen the highlight clip earlier in the year where he just like is playing basketball with a dude, right? And the offensive lineman doesn't know what to do with him, and nobody does, right? And so any smart quarterback like Aaron Rodgers is say, I'm just going to throw the ball away because I know you're outmatched. Now, the irony of it all was I thought he was going to give him the record, kind of like
Favre did. Actually kind of did too.
I thought he was just going to kind of take a little dive.
I think if they were winning the game, they would have.
Probably, probably. That's what I was kind of hoping for, just as like, hey, ha-ha, forget you.
Uh-huh.
Right, Favre, I'm going to kind of step in that. But the Ravens and the Steelers are playing for that playoff berth. But what is going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers? And Aaron Rodgers, from my time playing, was the most talented guy. It sounded like a rifle when the ball went by you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, from a talent standpoint, his hands are literally the size of extra large pizzas. He's athletic. He's smart. He gets you in the right call. I don't know how you stop him, but yet that offense isn't doing what I believe it should be doing with putting points up on the board with the defense that they have.
No DK Metcalf, I think, hurts. It just feels like everything is hard with that offense, right? It just feels like nobody's open. Everything is razor thin. They're predictable. I'm with you. I'm trying to answer. I don't have a good answer for it either, by the way. Like, if I knew, I'd send him a letter and go, hey, Mr. Tomlin, I think you're great at running stuff and you should be in charge of a lot of things. Something's going on with your offense that ain't right. I would try to fix it if I could. I just don't know. I don't know what the formula is. Every time they would take a step forward this year, where you go, okay, we've unlocked Kenneth Gainwell for Renaissance for a couple of weeks, or we can go back shoulders to DK Metcalf for a couple of weeks. Whatever it is just sort of seems to vanish into the ether, and it's like, Here's a back shoulder seam route in between seven defenders to Pat Freiermuth for a yard and a half. Just doesn't seem like much is going on there offensively. Let's go to Jaguars-Colts. I feel for the Colts. I really do. Just the way that this has gone, they were at one point among the best teams in the league. They've now, you know, they're fighting their, you know, what's off. It's Phil Rivers. It's Jonathan Taylor. They just don't have enough horses. And Jacksonville comes back and wins this game, goes to 12-4.
I mean, the Jaguars believe, you know, ever since the kind of cringeworthy Duval moment, right, that was kind of that coach's hiccup, right? That was his moment. I didn't think he was going to respond from it. Obviously, he's got that locker room fighting for him, playing for him. Trevor Lawrence is playing at a high level, right? They have some talent down there. And I think they've kind of taken that Jacksonville against the world type mentality, right? Sean Payton made the comments, small market team, right? Those guys are having fun. They're going out there playing. The Colts had it rocking and rolling early in the year with Daniel Jones, the Phillip Rivers, which I think he's a future Hall of Famer. You know, all the stuff that goes with him, right? Like, that was the savior of the season, right? Mm-hmm. I think as a coaching staff, right, you got to have a little bit more of a plan versus a guy that hadn't played in 4 years that is a future Hall of Famer. So they didn't do that, and then their season kind of went down the drain.
That's exactly what it did. So for the Jaguars, I want to talk about them real quick. Kedrick Olsen sitting in for GP. When they dropped 3 out of 4, and the only win was against the Raiders in overtime, I might add, I went, I got you. You're frauds, right? Nice start. That's cute. You beat, you know, a couple of teams. You're just okay. I don't really think you're for real. Trevor Lawrence is doing what he's done, where we just assume that he's good, but he's not playing great at this point. Since then, they lost an OT to the Texans, a game they should have won, frankly, against the Texans. They allowed a huge comeback. They've ripped off, what is it, 8 straight? At this stage, or 7 straight? They have been really, really good. And early on, it was unsustainable stuff with turnovers and the defense. They've kind of locked back in. Both sides of the ball, a lot of really fun offensive creativity, kind of unlocking Etienne again, different receivers. I mean, the guys have been kind of disappointing. When Brian Thomas was supposed to have the juggernaut of a season, hasn't happened, hasn't mattered. They're 12-4, man. It's commendable to me.
Yeah, I mean, first year staff, right? They have to figure each other out, right? Yeah. What is Trevor like? What is ETN like? You know, what does this football team look like, right? So, like, you can have a plan, kind of a process you want to go to, but each team kind of morphs into its own individual. Like, how do I maximize this group, right? And so those losses early on, right, they're only a loss if they continue to weigh you down, right? If you don't adjust, you don't adapt, right? We talked about everything being hard for Pittsburgh, whereas in Jacksonville, right, like, they're dialing it up, right? And we use the word creativity when it works, right? When it works, we use the word creativity. So being creative is finding ways, right, to make the quarterback's job easier, right? Being able to run the football, right? Being able to create matchups that you know you can win, right? Defenses in the NFL are really good, but they're also going to give you stuff, right? And if you take those things, right, you can sustain drives. The more opportunities you have, the more times that you're going to score points, because that's just the way the game works.
Two more games we'll talk about quickly. Patriots sandblasted the Jets. The Jets non-competitive. That was disappointing showing. Late afternoon situation. Eagles-Bills. What do we learn from that one? 13-12 final. So Buffalo goes for two, doesn't get it, end up losing the game because of it. But neither offense really impressed. Defensively, you got to tip your cap in both directions, even though the Eagles defense, I feel like, coming in probably better than Buffalo's on paper. Certainly some of the numbers would back that up. What did we make of that game?
You know, I mean, you know, some could say it's a potential Super Bowl matchup, right? You're talking about two really good football teams where the Bills say, hey, listen, we're going to go for two. If we win it, it's great. If we lose it, that's just what we need going into the playoff, right, to kind of refocus, right? So I looked at that as, hey, you know, you can say what you want to about Philadelphia, right? Their offense, good or bad, defense, right? But they have a pedigree of championship caliber football, and that's what I saw last night. It's just two teams, right, that competed, right? And they didn't score a bunch of points like we like to see in the modern-day NFL, but it was a fun football game to watch.
Yeah, a grind. Not much happened in the third quarter. Then finally the Bills scored a couple times in the last handful of minutes. I think zero passes completed in the second half for the Eagles. Just it tells you something ain't going right on that offense.
Well, but also, right, like when you got Saquon Barkley, right? Yep. I don't remember exactly what the weather conditions were, right? But if you're trying to win a football game, right, so as a head coach, right, defense is playing lights out, right? Josh Allen, they're keeping him contained, right? Stephon Diggs is with the Patriots. But that being said, so you don't need to throw the ball, right? Because obviously they know a little bit more than we do. Maybe Jalen is banged up. Maybe his arm is sore. Or, you know what, they're just trying to prove a point where, you know what, we feel like we're bigger, stronger, and we're going to try to keep our defense off the field and run the football.
Maybe something to that. Certainly makes sense. And then last night, 80 points are scored in the Bears-49ers game. That was riveting. I mean, whatever style of game you wanted yesterday, you got. If you want a defensive arm wrestling match, that's fun too. But we had a 42-38 Niners win over the Bears. I came away really impressed with both teams. Obviously not defensively. That's not really a thing. But that kind of punch, counterpunch, it felt like whoever had the ball last was going to win it. I think that win said a lot for the 49ers, but I don't think Chicago gets to hang their heads today after dropping that one.
No, I mean, you know, the 49ers have went through injuries. Kyle Shanahan is proven he can score a lot of points in this league. Ben Johnson, hats off to him kind of turning that thing around with the local product, Caleb Williams out of Gonzaga High School, right?
So a couple great throws in that game yesterday.
Talk about a talent, right? But it's just fun football, right? Yeah. Because at that point, right, the defenses are trying, right? Like, Salah's trying to stop Ben Johnson, right? But that's when, you know, the young kids say, you know, the offensive coordinators, the play callers, they get in their bag, right? And they figure it out. They create those matchups, and they got good football players, right? And so, you know, the Bears are playing really good football and the 49ers are, right? And so if I'm a team, you know, I don't want to see them coming down the stretch because of what the problems that they show offensively.
That's Kedrick Golston. I'm Danny Ruyay. This is Grant and Danny right here on The Fan. Kind of went around in circles, told you about what's going on in the NFL. I ended on San Francisco for a reason. And I want to get into this next. I want your calls. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Jay Gruden is going to join us at 5. But what I want to do next is this. There has been so much discussion, rightfully so, by the way, about all the injuries and all the things that have derailed Washington's season. I am not stupid, despite what some of you might think. I understand that injuries are a factor. I get it. I am aware that when you don't have Terry McLaurin, your passing game will be worse than when you do. That's obvious. That's intuitive. My counterpoint is San Francisco. They have injury woes just like Washington's with, frankly, better players not playing for them, not suiting up, not available more often than not. They are 12-4 playing for the one seed in the NFC. I understand it's not apples to apples. There's a lot that goes into that, whether it's schedule, whether it's coaching, whether it's a program that's been around for a while. But that's kind of my point here. I want to get into that. For the people that just wave their hand at this season and say, it's just injuries, I think there's a lot more. I want to unpack that with you guys next on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Use check in motion. Still Purdy with a clean pocket. It's complete. It's Juwan Jennings to the pylon. Touchdown. The Niners take the lead.
Little Sunday night foosball with Mike Tirico, who's really, really good at calling football games. Welcome back. It's Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Kendrick Olsen sitting in for Grant Paulson. So that's the San Francisco 49ers highlight call. Yada, yada, yada. Here's the point that I'm trying to make when it comes to the 49ers. They're really good. I understand that they're really good. I understand they've had years to build their franchise. I understand they've had a lot of continuity. They've had the same head coach in place. They've had the same general manager, et cetera, in place for a while. The point, though, that I would like to make to everybody is it's hard not to see them win last night in primetime, have a chance now at the one seed overall in the NFC, and you go through their injuries. There's significant IR injuries. Everybody from Fred Warner to Nick Bosa, guys that they're paying $20 million against the cap to, who aren't available for them, haven't been pretty much all season long. Then you go down the list of guys that they were missing last night but have missed throughout the season. Brock Purdy missed a huge chunk of time. I think he's played eight games for them. Started eight games, was able to play those, missed a bunch of time. George Kittle has missed six-plus games. They've been without the services of Brandon Ayuk, who's their equivalent of Terry McLaurin. Now, I'd rather have Terry. He's a much better dude. He's not going to cause as many problems as Brandon Ayuk. But still, Brandon Ayuk was their version of that, a guy that has broken out, that they paid, that they're dedicated to. They're missing $60, $70, $80 million against their cap for pretty much the entire season. And then the weeks kind of, week-to-week type injuries, where they've been without the services of Ricky Pearsall, someone they took very high in the draft a couple years ago. They have been beset by injuries, just like Washington has. I understand Christian McCaffrey was available the whole time. He's north of 2,000 scrimmage yards. He's special. My point isn't to say, Washington should be 12-4, and I won't accept anything less. I get you're not going to be as good. I understand, Ked. I'll tag you in here in a second. My frustration is with the pulse, with kind of the narrative that injuries, and you shrug your shoulders like that's the only explanation. There were a lot of guys. This has been the drum that I've beat, and it really was crystallized last night as San Francisco was winning this thriller against Chicago. There are a lot of guys that were the plan, that they were counting on, who weren't hurt for most of this season, who didn't play particularly well. And the build wasn't enough I understand it's not going to be the same as having being able to layer talent like you want over the course of years and what they inherited. It's an uphill climb. But there's no way you can convince me that you just go, injuries, so you get to be 4-12, maybe even 4-13 if you lose to the Eagles this weekend.
If we're going to be fair, right, talking about the injuries the 49ers have versus what the Commanders have, the 49ers have had some years where, right, Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, they're banged up, and they are 4-12, right?
Absolutely.
They're still mortal, right? They still put their pants on one leg at a time like the rest of us. That being said, even with Purdy going down, because, you know, they're good defensively, right? Robert Saleh, he's back, right? He's coordinated championship, NFC championship-type defenses, right? The one thing that stands out to me that the difference between the two bunches are, and I'm not talking about – because injuries are injuries, and that's the National Football League, and we've heard that, and people have to be able to go out there, and players got to make plays, and coaches got to put them in position to make plays. But they've always gotten the production out of that quarterback room, whether it was Purdy, whether it was Mac, right? Like that guy, the signal caller, right, the shot caller has always produced, right? And then when you have a back – you know, all-purpose yards around with Christian McCaffrey, right? You're able to mask a lot of some of the other inefficiencies, and you couple that with a guy who, it doesn't matter if he's got John Beck, Rex Grossman, whoever it is, right? He produces offensive numbers.
This is all correct. And that's kind of why I say it's not apples to apples. I will never sit there and tell you with everything that's happened, with the easier schedule that San Francisco has had than Washington, that there's any way that Washington should be 12-4. Like, with all the injuries and things that they've had. It is absolutely a factor. Totally fair. And your other point is very good, that they've had years where it's been too much, and they were 6-11 last year. In 2020, they were 6-10. Now, surrounded by 12-5, 13-4, 12-4, 10-7, 13-3, conference championship appearances, two Super Bowl appearances in there, etc., where they've got a pretty good track record kind of surrounding it. I understand they haven't, it's not apples to apples. But what I keep coming back to is, if you give this group here in Washington a pass by simply saying, you know, what are you supposed to do? A guy's got hurt. Their version of guys getting hurt is, you know, Trent Williams, all pro, is missing some time. Our version is Dietrich Wise. And nothing wrong with Dietrich Wise. It's not his fault, it's Dietrich Wise. He's a good player. But they're paying him $3 million to be a run stuffer. And once he's gone, it's now a bridge too far. When Nick Bosa can't play, that's an all-pro a couple years ago, consistent pro bowler, a 20-plus million year hit against the cap that he signed a handful of years ago. That guy hadn't been available all year long. Washington's version of that is a guy that was a win for them, and Dorrance Armstrong, who they plucked from Dallas, who could do a little bit more than he was being asked to do. Was a part-time player, was a situational guy. They elevated him to kind of full-time starter, had a renaissance with Washington, and he was awesome. I'm not discrediting Dorrance Armstrong. But my point is, if the whole operation hinges, it sounds like I'm beating these guys up, and I don't mean to. If the whole operation hinges on Dietrich Wise, then your operation's broken. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you can't survive without a run-stuffing, stay-at-home defensive end that's going to set the edge, then you weren't going to survive. That's kind of my point. So this is part coaching. This is part Peters. This is part a million different factors. Some blame can be cast upon Rivera and the Martys for leaving the cupboard pretty bare. But there was an approach here. There was a certainty that I think there was a swing and miss when it came to this build to be prepared for any contingency beyond a couple of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, you. Going into this season, I can pretty much say without talking to anybody, confident that Dan Quinn and Adam Peters did not think the season would go this way.
And I didn't either, for the record.
And nobody did. Mm-hmm. Nobody did. I mean, the stark difference between this time last year to where we're at now is you couldn't be on polar opposites, right? Just from a fan base, from where the football team is. And you're 100% correct. I hate to say it. No, it doesn't make good for radio, but you cannot just blame this on injuries, because everybody has injuries, and the people that you do bring in to replace those players should be capable of doing what you were asking those other players to do, because you're not having to replace all pro type players. Like when you talk about a Nick Bosa, a Trent Williams, those type. Not losing Jaden, which I do believe was the heartbeat of this football team.
Yeah, that's massive.
I think that did something to the whole team, because when he was out there, there was a never a time last year, and even this year, if I'm being honest, where you would say, oh, we're out of this football game, because you believed in him, you believed in the offense and how he could score really quickly, right? And so some of your deficiencies didn't stand out as much because you were winning football games, and when a play was made, we were able to come back here during the week and say, oh, that play is what helped us win the football game, whereas as now some of those same plays are happening, but there's other plays that are negating them, and then they're losing football games, right? And so what Jaden meant to this football team, franchise quarterback, electric, right, could throw the deep ball, could run, right? He's one of the better athletes in the National Football League, right? Not having him, I think, really changed the dynamic of this football team because it was so Jaden-focused, which it should have been, right? Yeah. He did everything he was supposed to do, right? He was a high draft pick, Heisman Trophy winner. Is working his tail off, right? He was endorsed by Bobby Wagner, which is a future Hall of Famer, right? And so that group really worked well together. And for whatever reason this year, that chemistry has been off and those plays have not been made. So you can't blame it on injuries because everybody deals with injuries. It's the National Football League.
And again, I'm arguing against myself here, but they suffered more than the average team. I mean, there's data points that support that, right? They had more man games missed from starters than nearly anybody, et cetera. I'm not sitting here telling you that their record should be reversed. I'm saying you can't have a month where you lose by 21 points a game in this league. That cannot happen. And there's more to it than just saying guys are hurt. So 800-636-1067 is the phone number. What do you say to people who are telling you it's just injuries? And you want to tell me and Kedrick Olsen that it's just injuries. You're welcome to do that. Explain to us why we're wrong. 800-636-1067. I hear that narrative a ton, that the injuries, and then we kind of move on to the next thing. There's way more to it than that for me. And San Francisco is kind of my counterpoint, where they're beat up, they're missing stars, they missed a bunch of guys for a huge chunk of time, just like Washington did, and they are playing for the one seed. I'm not saying Washington should be playing for the one seed. I'm saying they should have had some meaningful games past November 1st. That's kind of what I'm talking about here. What do you say to folks that just say it's injuries? 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. We'll talk questions for Adam Peters in the 3 o'clock hour, but your call's next right here on The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
G&D here on The Fan. Kedrick Olsen sitting in for Grant Paulson. So I stumbled onto this last night watching this wildly entertaining game, Ked. San Francisco, Chicago, back and forth and back and forth. And I've kind of had this take mulling around in my brain for a while. I am not telling you that Washington should be 12-4. That's ridiculous. That's erroneous. They were kind of never that good. My point is, San Francisco has had key, huge, massive injuries, and they're playing for the one seed this week. There are other factors. I'm aware of all of them. I guess I'm kind of saying, yes, there are other factors. You can't just wave your hand at this and say it was injuries. And I wondered what folks thought. 800-636-1067. The question, I guess, is basically this. You hear this narrative out there that it was the injuries and that's the story of this season. It's certainly the first chapter of the book of the 2025 Washington season. But my point is, I think there's a lot of other page-turning chapters in there as to why this season has ended the way that it has, or is going the way that it's going. Dave in Virginia, first up on this. What are your thoughts, man?
Well, I think that what the issue comes across is during the Ron Rivera era and with the Marty Party, how many first, second, third, or even fourth round picks are there?
Very few.
Are even playing for the Commanders because, right. You know, those are the guys that are going to step up when your starters get hurt. And unfortunately, we don't have them.
They appreciate you, dude. Yeah. Sorry, man, you broke up there for a second. Yeah, I mean, they inherited a pretty bare cupboard. And that's not running any single player under the bus, but your first round picks for the last 4 years, none of them play for this regime.
None of them play, but in fairness, right? Like, so there's like, we got to stop blaming stuff on, like that's obviously a factor, right? But those guys, like, they got rid of, what, 35 other players as well,
yes.
Right? So this roster is completely turned over. Now, you would have liked to have that type of talent, right, of those first-round draft picks to now build some depth and some production. But to go back and say, like, this roster was good enough last year to compete for an NFC Championship game, right? And so it doesn't do anybody any good to continue to talk about Ron Rivera and Dan Snyder and all that kind of stuff because we're past that, right? We're moving past this, and so let's stay on topic of this year and this regime, right? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this ownership, this regime, because that's what's the important thing.
Let's go to Lou in Waldorf. Lou, what's up, man? You're on the Fan with Danny and Ked.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Listen, I don't think it was just injuries, but I do think the general manager, right, they had a roster that went to the championship game. We know that. I think they got rid of some pieces that they probably should have kept one more year, but they went out and swung for the fences and added pieces that I thought was good enough for me to even go out and buy season tickets. So I just think the general manager swung, he missed. Now he has to look himself in the mirror and say, hey, these guys that I bought in, they just didn't pan out. Now I have to go through the roster with a fine-tooth comb and get some heavy talent in here. Otherwise, we're going to be back in the same boat again.
Lou, appreciate you, dude. Let's go to Steve in Silver Spring. Steve, what do you say to people that are telling you, it was just an injury-plagued season and that's it?
I think it's bullcrap. I said about a month ago when I was talking to B. Mitch, the injury thing. So if you go back to even last year when we beat Detroit, they were out 11 starters. When we beat them in the playoff game, right?
Yep.
And even though they did have time to build their roster, you know, we didn't run through the streets and give them any grace because of the guys that they were out. They were out 11 starters on both sides of between both sides of the football, and we beat them, and we didn't give them no grace talking about, hey, we beat them, but they were out 11 starters. Nobody wants to hear that cry. This is like Kendrick just said. It's the NFL. Everybody has injuries, and a lot of teams have injuries that we don't even know about. You know, so we just have to build the roster. Sure, you mentioned the 49ers. They have a lot more depth, but we just have to build that roster. And we overachieved last year. Let's just be flat out honest.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Steve, appreciate you. It's the build the roster thing, Ked, that I want to hone in on. 800-636-1067. Let's carry this over. And that's my point, is that it wasn't built. So you made an interesting point a minute ago when you said, let's not dwell too much in the past. I think that's very fair. The only data point that I would offer is there are no players, save for seventh rounder Chris Paul from the 2022 draft on this team. There are, I think, two or three players from the 2023 draft, and it's second rounder and Chris Rodriguez, a sixth rounder, that's kind of crossed regimes. That's commendable for those individual guys. But that should be a dude that you don't have to go out and find somebody instead of. Does that make sense? In other words, I should have a player that's at the end of his rookie deal on my team at whatever spot that is. Second linebacker, off-ball linebacker, this safety, this special teams guy, etc. Instead, they had to go shopping. And when they went shopping, those didn't hit at near enough of a clip, I think is fair to say. So when you talk about build the roster, that's kind of what that means to me, is they had an uphill climb and didn't make it to where they needed to make it to.
That's fair. I mean, you listen, I mean, this is what you want, right? You want a draft, right? Because you got young, cheap, quote unquote, controllable talent, right? And so you want to get guys that, you know, you have control of them. And so that didn't happen because the last regime didn't draft. If the last regime would have drafted better players, then the last regime would still be here, right?
In a lot of ways, yeah.
So with the new ownership, with Coach Quinn and Adam Peters coming in here, right? So now you have other teams that did draft players that are producing. So those guys aren't available, right? They're still either under their contracts or they've re-signed in free agency, right? And so coming in here, I do think the last caller, right, we were ahead of schedule, right? Like, we got the quarterback. We believed in the quarterback. We got the coach, right? We're going to build this thing around it. And they overachieved, right? But you got to maximize those moments, right? And so nobody knew, right, that Jaden would be hampered with injuries all year. Nobody knew that the Lattimore signing, right? We thought he would be back. He would be healthy. He'd be able to lock down one side of the field like he did in all those years in New Orleans, right? And so injuries are not the excuse, but you also have to realize that this was not the initial plan and that there has to be some type of pivoting, right? And it just seems throughout this year, we haven't, from an organizational standpoint, been able to pivot and adjust in real time to maximize the season.
I think that's 100% it. I think it's 100% it. The pivots have been slower than have been needed. That's Kedrick Olsen. I'm Danny Ruglia. This is Grant and Danny here on The Fan. 800-636-1067. Let's do some more calls on this. What do you say to people that tell you it's just the injuries and kind of wave you away as to what happened with the story of this Washington season? It has been beyond frustrating. I don't think anybody, with what's happened injury-wise, expects them to be 12-4 playing for the one seed against Philadelphia this coming weekend. I think that was unrealistic from the jump. I also think it dismisses a whole bunch of other factors that led to this really disappointing season that has everybody really, really, really pissed off. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Your call's next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.